is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you want fresh Wisconsin cranberries, now's the time. As Melissa Kay reports, the Badger State has dominated production for three decades.
Roughly 250 cranberry growers in the Badger State are expected to produce 65% of the global supply this year.
We're on a cranberry marsh. I will say in Wisconsin, we call them marshes, not bogs.
That's Holly Herline. She's the communications manager for the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. At this time of year, cranberry beds are flooded for what's referred to as a wet harvest.
You do see lots of water here, but that's also unique to harvest. They are not in water all the time. They're grown on like a woody vine in soil.
Only 5% of the annual cranberry crop is sold as fresh berries. That portion is harvested gently to avoid bruising the fruit. Herline said fresh cranberries are only available in the stores from roughly October to November.
You really can only buy fresh berries around that time frame, so we recommend people to stock up. They freeze really well for a year.
Even though Wisconsin produces more cranberries than anyone else, it's still a relatively small crop compared to others in the state. Herline says different growers harvest in different ways, and equipment is mostly constructed by the growers themselves.
They are a very innovative bunch. They are not just farmers. They are engineers and mechanics and scientists and all the things. So very interesting.
The USDA National Agriculture Statistics Services projects the Wisconsin 2025 cranberry harvest to reach 5.3 million barrels. The cranberry industry is valued at just under $1 billion and employs nearly 4,000 people in the state. Wisconsin agriculture as a whole contributes over $116 billion annually to the state economy.
That's Melissa Kay reporting. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
Reminiscing with Rogers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the lead up to the Sunday night football game between the Packers and Steelers, I had a chance to ask Aaron Rodgers about a funny photo of him in the back of a red pickup truck holding up a case of beer on their way back to the stadium one day. He talked about that and his days in the golf cart with David Bakhtiari.
You got unmuted, Mike.
What was happening that day, and talk about some of those times that maybe weren't so public.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly whose vehicle that was, but there was like a bunch of cases of beer in the back. So, you know, you guys would always take that walk back, and whether I was riding in the back of a truck or riding on that silly golf cart that D-Bog gave me, we were always messing around, having a good time. Those are some of the shenanigans and pranks. It got so crazy, some of the pranks they were pulling, that Mike at one point said, you know, cut that shit out, no more of that stuff, because they were doing some wild stuff.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
Happy Halloween, he said in his most sepulchral tones. Great holiday. You can be anything you want to be. All right, most anything.
The music of the stars.
Yeehaw!
The music of the stars. The music of
I hope that as you listen to this, you are among your loved ones. For I believe that murder, like charity, begins at home. After all, some of the most exquisite murders have been domestic, performed with tenderness and originality, and in simple, homey places like the kitchen table or the bathtub. So, gentlemen, if you're with your wife, show her how you feel about her. Put your arms around her neck and listen to this musical admonition. I'll walk alone.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Ed Burrow, and the name of the show is Poison to Poison. Tonight, we're visiting the home of a very famous motion picture and television director. Are you there, Alfred?
Good evening, Ed, and welcome to my humble little sanctuary.
Alfred, you have a very fascinating home.
Thank you, Ed.
And exquisitely furnished, may I add. For instance, that armchair you're sitting in is very striking.
And very expensive, too.
Why is it so expensive?
It's made out of real arms.
What is that music I hear? Hi-fi from your phonograph?
No, Ed. That's FM from Mortuary.
Alfred, what's in all those drawers along the wall?
Well, this one here, marked F, is full of feet.
From here, it looks like it's full of hands.
Excuse me, Ed. I'm so untidy.
Where does that door lead to, Alfred?
To my chambers.
Your private chambers?
No, my guest chambers. Oh, I'm sorry, Selma.
What happened, Alfred?
I stepped on my cat's tail.
That's strange. I didn't see any cat.
There isn't any. Just a tail.
Why, I see.
And this is my library, Ed.
Very charming, Alfred. What's in that bottle on the top shelf?
Old Granddad, on my father's side.
Beg pardon, sir.
Graves, please don't interrupt me. I'm on television.
Live, sir?
Perish the thought. Ed, before we go out into the yard, do you mind if I light up a cigarette?
Not at all. I'll do the same. Incidentally, what kind of cigarette are you smoking, Alfred?
My favorite brand, Old Ghouls.
Very funny, Alfred.
I don't care what the weatherman says. When the weatherman says it's raining, you'll never hear me complaining. I'm certain the sun will shine. I don't care how the weather vane points. When the weather vane points to gloomy, it's gotta be sunny to me. When your eyes look into mine, so lit up. Gosh, oh, get up. How'd they get that size? Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, woe is me. I gotta put my cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes?
get those, oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes? Where'd you get those?
Did you ever break a mirror? Spend the rest of the day in dread, wondering what awful fate would befall you. It is bad luck to break a mirror, you know, because the gods in the mirror are protecting you from harm, and when you break your particular mirror, you're darkening the vision of your protectors, and anything is liable to happen. Take the strange tale of Celeste Collins. She was a pretty Irish girl of 21 on this day of her birthday. And the girls in the office were giving her a luncheon party. She was dressing in her bedroom, arranging her hair in a stunning coiffure and admiring herself in her hand mirror. Her hair was her crowning glory, the envy of the girls at the office. And so she preened herself in the mirror, turning first this way and that, completely satisfied with the effect. But she set the mirror down carelessly, and it slipped off the dresser, falling to the floor with a shattering sound of broken glass. Celeste wrinkled her pretty nose and shrugged her shoulders. Just another mirror. At any rate, it was time to go to work. She hurried from the house to catch the subway. While she was fumbling in her purse for the token, it spilled open and all the contents spread out under the turnstile. Reaching under the stile to put her bag together only caused a long run in each of her silk stockings. Then she was an hour late for work because the train stalled in the tunnel and dried up transportation. And at the office, she overturned a bottle of ink on the whole pile of contracts she had typed so carefully the day before. Well, by noon, Celeste decided it was just one of those days when you should have stayed in bed. Although Celeste Collins was Irish, and the Irish are fey, steeped in the traditions of leprechauns and strange happenings, she was practical and sensible as well as pretty. The broken mirror was just a coincidence and just a silly superstition anyway. And the birthday party that followed erased any doubt she may have had in her mind. The girls wined her and dined her in the little restaurant around the corner. They'd even gotten her a birthday cake. And even though the morning had been awful, the rest of the day flew by with Celeste as happy as a bird. And so, at 5 o'clock, she went home. Her birthday had been a great success. It was only an hour later, while she was sewing a dress in the living room, that the doorbell rang. Expectantly, Celeste sprang to answer. It was a delivery man with a large, upright package that towered as high as the door. Celeste signed for it as the man moved the package to the center of the room and propped it up against the table. After he'd left, she eyed the heavy cords that bound the package and suddenly realized that the girls had taken this method of surprising her with a birthday present. Delightedly, she took her sewing shears and cut the cords. The wrapping paper fell away with a hissing noise, and miraculously, there were two Celeste Collins in the room. The one standing away from the table, the other smiling back from the reflected depths of the full-length mirror propped against the table. But Celeste Collins started to scream. The face in the mirror was a twisted, satanic thing, an outrageous caricature of the lovely face before it. Celeste stepped back, overwhelmed with fright. She kept backing up, but the awful thing in the mirror receded with her. And then her legs were halted by the sill of the window behind her. Whirling, Celeste saw her face again in the crystal clear panes of glass in the window. The same hideous gasp. With a terrible shriek, she hurled herself at the window and fell through. 6 stories to the cement courtyard below. So you see, my friend, the birthday present was a gift from hell. Of course, Celeste saw only herself in the mirror. But look for yourself. Look into the mirror. Oh, there, you've dropped it. Broken it into a million fragments. How dreadful. I'm afraid you're in for some bad luck.
Portions of the proceeding were recorded. As for the rest of it, I'm very much afraid it was all in your mind. I don't intend to indulge in any post-mortem. If you haven't been murdered, I can only say better luck next time. If you have been, good night, wherever you are.
I laughed when I heard you say that I'd be playing solitaire, uneasy in my easy chair. It never entered my mind. Once you told me I was mistaken, that I'd awaken with the sun and order orange juice for one. It never entered my mind. What I lack myself, now I even have to scratch my back myself. Once you warned me that if you scorned me, I'd say a lonely prayer again and wish that you were there again to get into my hair again. It never entered my
Listen to me, said the demon, as he placed his hand upon my head. The region of which I speak is a dreary region in Libya, by the borders of the river Zaire, and there is no quiet there, nor silence. The waters of the river have a saffron and sickly hue, and they flow not onward to the sea, but palpitate forever and forever beneath the red eye of the sun with a tumultuous and convulsive motion. For many miles on either side of the river's oozy bed is a pale desert of gigantic water lilies. They sigh one unto the other in that solitude, and stretch towards the heaven their long and ghastly necks, and nod to and fro their everlasting heads. And there is an indistinct murmur which cometh out from among them, like the rushing of subterranean water, and they sigh one unto the other. But there is a boundary to their realm, the boundary of the dark, horrible, lofty forest. There, like the waves about the Hebrides, the low underwood is agitated continually, but there is no wind throughout the heavens. And the tall primeval trees rock eternally hither and thither with a crashing and mighty sound. And from their high summits, one by one, drop everlasting dews. And at the roots, strange poisonous flowers lie writhing in perturbed slumber. And overhead, with a rustling and loud noise, the gray clouds rush westwardly forever until they roll, a cataract, over the fiery wall of the horizon. But there is no wind throughout the heaven. And by the shores of the river Zaire, there is neither quiet nor silence. It was night and the rain fell. And falling, it was rain, but having fallen, it was blood. And I stood in the morass among the tall lilies, and the rain fell upon my head, and the lilies sighed one unto the other in the solemnity of their desolation. And all at once, the moon arose through the dim and ghastly mist and was crimson in color. And mine eyes fell upon a huge gray rock which stood by the shore of the river and was lighted by the light of the moon. And the rock was gray and ghastly and tall, and the rock was gray. Upon its front were characters engraven in the stone. And I walked through the morass of the water lilies until I came close unto the shore, that I might read the characters upon the stone. But I could not decipher them. And I was going back into the morass when the moon shone with a fuller red. And I turned and looked again upon the rock and upon the characters. And the characters were Desolation.
Of night, I've got to go where you are. It's long a ride. I've got to go where you are. I'll roam through the dismal swamplands searching for you, 'cause if you are there, let me be there too. Through the smoke and flame, I gotta go where you are. For no place could be too far where you are. Ain't no chains can bind you. If you live, I'll find you. Love is calling me. I've got to go where you are.
What's that? Somebody called my name? Is that you, honey?
I believe that I Yeah, love calling me. I've gotta go where you are.
Be kind to your web-footed friends, for a duck may be some.
Hello? You don't say. You don't say. You don't say.
Who was it?
He didn't say.
No reply. Nightshade's falling. Hear him sigh. Chloe.
Where are you, you old bat?
Empty spaces and meet his eyes. Empty arms outstretched. He's a crying through the black of night. I gotta go where you are.
Whether it's here or whether it's there, I wanna be there wherever you are.
If it's wrong, all right, I gotta go where you
Hello,
are.
Hello, Chloe. What are you knowing?
I just got back from a vaudeville showing.
I roam through the dismal swampland, searching for you. Cause if you are lost there, let me be that.
3, 4, 1.
And through that smoke and flame, I've got to go where you are.
Thunder, lightning, shower, snow, when I hear the call, I gotta go!
For no place can be too far where you are. Age and no chains can bind you. And if you live, I'll find you. Love is calling me. I got to go where you are. Age and all chains can bind you. And if you do, I'm going to find you, my pretty baby. Love is calling me.
Hello? You don't say. You don't say.
Who was it?
Same guy.
Suspense. This is the Man in Black, here again to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. Our star tonight is one of the most compelling actresses in America today, Miss Agnes Moorehead. Miss Moorehead returns to our stage to appear in a new study in terror by Lucille Fletcher called Sorry, Wrong Number. This story of a woman who accidentally overheard a conversation with death and who strove frantically to prevent murder from claiming an innocent victim is tonight's tale of suspense. If you have been with us on these Tuesday nights, you will know that suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series are tales calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation, and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so it is with Sorry, Wrong Number and the performance of Agnes Moorehead. We again hope to keep you in suspense.
Why must you always keep me in suspense? Or can't you see? Can't you see what it does to me? Just the moment I think you are mine, that's the moment I get the well-known sign. Out of line, you always keep me on the fence. You build me up, and then you let me down again. Sometimes I say I'll go away, but what's the sense? I'd just come back so you can keep me in suspense. Keep me on the fence. You build me up, and then you let me down again. Sometimes I say I'll go away, but what's the sense? I'd just come back so you can keep me in suspense.
Is what Orson Welles called the greatest radio play ever written. It aired May 25th, 1943, on the program Suspense, with Agnes Moorehead starring in what was essentially a one-woman show. She plays Mrs. Stevenson, a bedridden invalid who, through crossed phone lines, hears a murder being plotted. Only she can't get anyone to believe her. Those 22 minutes of sublime tension became one of the most famous radio shows in history, second only to Orson Welles' own War of the Worlds. In 1947, producer Hal Wallace bought the rights to the radio play, which were still available because A, nobody imagined it could be improved upon. The show was rebroadcast annually for many years. And B, nobody could imagine how those few minutes of perfection could be expanded into a feature-length film.
Operator, operator, operator.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've been ringing Murray Hill 3, 5097 for the last half hour, and the line is always busy. Will you ring it for me, please?
Murray Hill 3, 5097. One moment, please.
My husband's office. He should have been home hours ago. I can't think what's keeping him or why that ridiculous wire should be busy. They always close that office at 6 o'clock.
Ringing Murray Hill 3, 5097.
Thank you.
Hello,
Mr. Stevenson, please.
Hello.
I want to speak to Mr. Henry Stevenson.
Oh, George, speaking.
Hello, who is this? What number am I calling?
I got your message, George. Everything okay for tonight? Everything's okay, our client says.
Excuse me, what's going on here? I'm using this wire.
It's still 11:15, George. 11:15 is right. You got it all straight now, I hope.
Yeah, I think so. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer. Then I get in through the kitchen window at the back. Then I wait until the train goes over the bridge. Her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello. Who is this?
I forgot to ask you. Still don't want to use the gun?
But make it quick. Our client says he doesn't wish to make us suffer long.
Okay, George, don't worry. There won't be any slip-up. You know me.
And don't forget to take the rings and bracelet and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. Our client wishes to make it look like simple robbery. Simple robbery. That's very important.
Okay. Now let me just check the address again.
It's...
Hello.
Long
registry.
Whom do you wish to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry. I want to hire a trained nurse immediately for the night.
Pardon me just a second. Yes, and what were you saying?
I said I want to hire a trained nurse. I need her immediately.
We quite understand that, madam. But in the first place, this is a city hospital.
All I know is that I'm a sick woman. And I'm all alone in this horrible, empty house. I overheard a conversation, a telephone conversation a while ago about a murder. A murder to be committed at 11:15. I don't know what's happened to my husband. If something isn't done, I'm afraid. Someone had lifted the receiver off the hook of the extension downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam.
Well, I did. There's someone in this house. There's someone in the kitchen downstairs, and they're listening to me now. But...
I'ma try to call my girl, but every time I fail, well, when I put the money in, each time you begin, another way to put it out. Please tell him what's about, huh? Yeah? Uh-huh. No. No! No, no, no. Yeah, I had it in before. You don't have to get the saw. Well, just do the best you can when I put it in again. And so I put the nickel in to call my Catherine. The telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. And the operator tack, she put the nickel back. I put it in once more, out like before. I gotta make the call, and there is a middle hall. And they're in confidence, well, I got the foot and tense. And the telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. And in and out and in, to call my Catherine. I don't lose my control, and there is another hall. Well, it's 25 cents, so what's the difference? But the telephone no ring, no ring, no ring, no ring. Well, I show her I'm a man, so I'm gonna try again. Yes, hello, hello. Hello, operator! Why don't you call me a agitator? Well, I'm a good citizen, and I love my Catherine. You bunch of the squirrel, which number is I call? It's a Macedonia up two. Yes, a fight two. A two. Pull off a cheddar. That's all right. I speak with my interest. That's not your business. Here's the nickel. Don't you shout. Let's not put it in and out. And so I put the nickel in to call my Catherine. And the telephone no ring. No ring, no ring, no ring. The operator talk. She put the nickel back. I put it in once more. And out like before. So I gotta make the call. So there isn't a middle hall. And now in confidence I gotta put a tender sensor. And the telephone no ring. No ring, no ring, no ring. And in and out and in to call my Catherine. I don't lose my control. And there is another hall. If it's a 25%, so what's the difference? But the telephone no ring. No ring, no ring, no ring. I gotta show her I'm a man. So I'm gonna try again. Operator! Hello, operator! Where's my Macedonia 2? Fight 2! I took 2 out of that. Where is it? You don't speak English. That's the trouble. All right, goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Music of the Stars on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be here till midnight on most of these Civic radio stations. Stick around for news, good or bad. See what's shaking in the real world. Happy Halloween in advance.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.